Good evening. A few years ago, I read a book from the library. There was a series of sermons given in Nashville, Tennessee in the 20s. And it was such a big thing that the newspapers came and took all the words down by shorthand and published them in the newspaper that night. And the fellow who talked was somebody we know about, N.B. Hardeman, from Freed Hardeman, if you know that famous name. He's a well-known preacher, and he gave a sermon early in the 20th century, and this is a small portion of that that I want to quote. He said, "The city of Corinth, with its 400,000 people, contained its poor, yet no apostle ever left the word of God and became engaged in slumming or social uplift. Why, the church today, in the eyes of the populace, is reduced about to a parallel with the Red Cross. I have nothing unkind to say of the Red Cross, but its function is administering purely to men's temporal and temporary necessities. All ought to be interested in lifting man's burdens and making life more pleasant. But the good fellows, even the best fellows, organization, is about on a parallel with the idea that many people have of the church. And hence it is reduced to a kind of social organization for social betterment and for temporal advancement." Now mark you, the Church of God, if it functions correctly and does its duty, will look after these conditions, will go to the homes of those in distress and administer unto their necessities. In that field of benevolent activity, it will clothe the naked and feed the hungry and make life happier and better from a physical standpoint. But the man or woman claiming to be a member of the Church of God that makes that his primary work is deceived and blinded and wonderfully deluded. The function and work of the Church of God is not primarily for the furnishing of temporal help or assistance, but the paramount work of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to spread the gospel from the center to the circumference of this old earth. As I said some days or nights ago, you may go to the man who is hungry and feed him. You may go to the man naked and clothe him. You may go to the man dwelling in a hut and lift him up. Move him into a palace and relieve and make better his social and physical surroundings. But if you do not give unto him the gospel, God's power to save, that man, though clad in fine attire and dwelling under the finest possible circumstances, will at last die, and like the rich man, lift up his eyes in torment. Why? Because you administered not unto him the one hope of life and light and immortality known to the word." Kind of an interesting comment. And we know that, you know, some churches do that. I'm not accusing this one. I'll tell you right now that the reason I preach something is because I need it. It's because I'm looking at myself in the mirror and saying, "Boy, you don't do enough of something." And I could preach for 20 years and still not get to the end of what I need to do better. The work of the church involves three things. Evangelism, Matthew 28:18-20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Of course, benevolence is part of our duty. Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." James 1:27, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And the third thing we're responsible for is edification or building up of the soul. Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Many have placed the importance of benevolence and edification higher than they should, and that points to me, because I'd rather go out and visit someone and knock on the door and say, have you heard about Jesus? It just sort of scares me. And when I do, I'm not very successful, unfortunately, or at least I feel that way. But the main goal of many churches is to battle poverty and disease. That's laudable in its place, but it was never the main goal of our Lord. Some champion edification is primary, and so family life is emphasized above the others. Gymnasium, softball teams, arts and crafts, building and ground improvements, etc. enter in. Some of these things are questionable at best, and others have their place so long as they are not primary. Some are aids to true edification, other distractions, worldly. Jesus championed one aspect of the work of the church as primary over the others. While none may be neglected, one may be, must be first. Evangelism must be first. It's when a thing is first, it is planned, it is promoted and advanced, it is protected, it does not die of neglect. The primacy of evangelism is seen in three ways. The purpose for Jesus' coming, in the commission given to us all, and in the great tragedy awaiting all men. The purpose for Jesus' coming was, for example, in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. 1 Timothy 1 and 15, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. It's true that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him, Acts 10 and 38. But his chief aim in this was to confirm the word, Hebrews 2, 3 through 4. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Consider the tragedy if Jesus neglected evangelism to focus on healing or feeding or edifying. We have had a world of healthy, well-fed, but miserable sinners bound for devil's hell. Our commission is not to go and heal, it's not to go and feed, it's not to go and alleviate loneliness, and it's not to go and edify, but go and preach. That's number one. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Mark 16, 15 and 16, which is one of my favorite statements. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Luke 24, 46 and 47, he told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Consider the tragedy if we fail to place evangelism in its primary place. The sick will be well, the hungry be fed, the lonely be happy, but we would all be lost if we hadn't heard the word. I talked about the great tragedy that's awaiting mankind, and generally because of sin in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. John 5, 28 through 29, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. 2 Thessalonians, 1st chapter, 7 through 9, and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. 3,000 were rescued on the day of Pentecost. They were rescued because a man, Peter, stood to preach the gospel. Food, clothing, conversations, these things would have done nothing for them. And 2 Corinthians 5:10-11, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since, then, we know what is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. So what do we do about this? Well, it turns out it's not so difficult to imagine what we can do. In congregations everywhere, of course, needs compete for resources, talent, labor, money. And oftentimes some things must receive less attention. It's just the way it is. We never have all the resources we need. However, it is true that evangelism is primary, then it must receive the best of our time, talent, labor, and money. Salvation is the greatest need of mankind. There's just nothing else that compares. So we need to meet that need first, and while not forgetting our other Christian obligations, give the greatest gift of all, which is God. Do what we can do personally. Teach one-on-one. We have plenty of people who do that. Teach via the World Bible School using mail or the internet. You can ask me about services after the service. It's a really easy to use teaching tool, and we have a lot of people that really put their all into it, and we have a lot of people that are learning the Bible because of that. Invite family, friends, and neighbors to worship service. And I know how hard that is to get them there, but it's, just keep asking. Be a greeter and be the first to meet a visitor. Of course, you've got to ask Tony or Kevin about this, and this is a paid political announcement, by the way. So if you'd like to do that, you get first cut at a visitor. And preach the word. There are plenty of churches who welcome different preachers, including this one. Of course, here I am. Use social media to spread the word on the social media or your personal website. If you have a Facebook page, share this church's weekly postings. If you don't know it, we have two Facebook pages, one called Lassen Street Church of Christ and the other Vallejo Church of Christ. And every Monday morning, almost without missing it, I publish a new page. And sometimes it's about the next week's sermon, and sometimes it's just about the general message of, for example, this week, follow Jesus, Mark 16:16. So if somebody bothered to do that, and we found that pictures of Jesus or other things just attract enormous numbers of people, and they come back, and they come back, and they come back. So while you can't give them a big chunk of information at any given time, you just keep hitting them with the message. And if they bother to look up the scripture that's there, they'll finally get the idea, we hope. So anyway, on Monday afternoon, if you have a Facebook page, share that. Just go to our page and say share, and share on my on your Facebook page. It's very, very powerful. And of course, today, really very few people read the newspaper. They don't look in the telephone book. We don't advertise in those, or at least we try not to. We tried heart-to-heart, which is extremely expensive. That didn't work. We've had one response from heart-to-heart, and I think it was far after we got done with that, publishing and mailing the heart-to-heart out. Social media is where people go to find out what's going on. And, of course, we have a website that's pretty complete now. And that works. And we've had not a ton of visitors, but every time we ask a visitor, how'd you find out about us? Typically it's, Facebook or the internet website. So it's a powerful tool. Point people to it. And of course, you can teach a Bible class or you teach a Devo. I mean, spreading the word doesn't have to be to the outside world. It could be to the saints, right? We all need the word. Support the work of gospel publishing. I don't know, buy a book or something from them. And support for evangelists and schools of preaching. You can do this directly or through the church. So the conclusion is the primacy of evangelism is seen in three ways: in the purpose for Jesus' coming, in the commission given to us all, and in the great tragedy awaiting all men. The rich and Sabina Christian may be missing from your life, and you may need to be that saved person, a Christian, by being baptized tonight, or you may need the prayers of the saints. Please come forward as we stand and sing.